And good morning. We keep rolling on, folks. 4 a.m. in the morning. We got Mully and Haw and Dusty coming up in 1 hour. It is a football Monday, a winning football Monday right here on 670 The Score. We're all fired up to bring you all the information and then some on the victorious Bears. Down 17-0, they beat Tennessee 24-17. And you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. And don't forget 670 The Score, Circus Sports, teaming up to celebrate the start of the football season Thursday, 10 a.m. until 6. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, Afternoon Show. They're doing it live, Lake Street Plaza at Prudential. Food trucks, games, more throughout the day. Thursday, 10 to 6 with The Score and Circa Sports, Illinois. So we're going to go to some calls, and maybe you're headed to work. You want to get the jump, 312-644-6767. We're talking Bears. We want to find out your take on the Bears, 312-644-6767. We have some texts as well, and we were talking about when are the Bears going to learn how to throw a screen pass to a running back? And one of our texters said, hey, Chuck, you remember Walter Payton and Neil Anderson? They were pretty good at receiving screen passes. And, of course, Walter was Walter. Walter could do anything. Walter could kick. Seriously, he could do that punt. He could throw. I mean, he would throw TV passes coming out on the option. He would line up under center. But Neil Anderson, people are saying, Chuck, tell me about Neil Anderson. The Bears took him. The Bears took him in the first round in 1986, and he was a great player at the University of Florida. And when they drafted him, everyone said, well, he's the heir apparent to Walter Payton. And he had a very brief career in the National Football League. In fact, I don't think Neil Anderson played with another team other than the Bears. He was only with the Bears 5 or 6 years. But one of the best things that ever happened with Neil Anderson, I believe it was either 90 or 91, and he got a 50-yard game-winning TD on a pass from Jim Harbaugh. And that play eliminated the Lions from the playoffs, and the Bears made the playoffs. Neil Anderson, probably one of the nicest young men I ever encountered when I was covering the Bears. But again, a lot of people expected him just to come in and get it done. And he had a good career. I wouldn't say it was a great career, but he was a really good player. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. That's the number to call. We're going to hear from Caleb Williams, his press conference, in just a moment. And but we will also want to go to some phone lines right here on The Score. Coming up again between Mully and Haw, we have Olin Krutz at 7 o'clock, DJ Moore at 8 o'clock with Mully and Haw, Brad Biggs with Mully and Haw at 9 o'clock. And someone from our texters just said, Chuck, you know, tell me about Neil Anderson. He was invited to the Pro Bowl in 88, 89, 90, and 91. So, you know, four-time Pro Bowler, that's pretty good. Let's go to the calls. Kyle from Wisconsin, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, just wanted to say great show. Love your show. I love Score overnights. Wish you guys could do them during the week, more during the week. But hopefully you guys will sooner or later. But just want to say it's only game one for the Bears. They won. Everybody needs to think positive. And Caleb Williams will be good. And Bears will be good. I'm excited. The Bears have a bright future.
Well, the Bears have a very bright future, and they will own the NFC North one day. There's no doubt in my mind. But I do have a question. So we started the program at midnight, and we had a lot of people that were really down on the Bears. They were upset because the expectations were so high. I think a lot of people felt that they would just show up and beat Tennessee, and even I had the Bears winning big. I mean, big. And so I'm guilty of that. This is the National Football League, and it doesn't work that way all the time and most of the time. But The offense struggled. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Defense was great. Special teams was very good. But I think a lot of people need to pump the brakes and just let this thing develop. Would you agree with that?
I would, yes. I definitely would. I'd agree. And, things will develop. Things will come along slowly but surely. But, yes, the Bears will be good. I think they'll make a playoff push.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. It depends how they fare in their schedule the last few weeks of the season, because their last 6-7 games, very, very tough. Thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We've been talking a lot about Caleb Williams and the NFL opener. His first game as a professional quarterback. Here is Caleb Williams addressing with reporters after the game.
Hello, everybody. How's it going?
Caleb, what's your evaluation of the offense's play, especially when the defense wasn't shining as best as it did?
I would say offensive play, obviously we didn't perform how we wanted to. We want to be the most efficient team out there, myself included. Didn't perform the way that I wanted to. I missed a few passes that I normally don't miss, all of these other things. And so I think there's small things that always lead up to big things, make those moments and things like that a lot bigger. They make games a lot closer, just the small things, whether it's a pass play that I had to DeAndre Swift in the flat that I missed a little bit in front of him. Whether it's, missing DJ a little bit on that in route on the backside a little bit. Right in front of them, all these small moments that happened throughout the game, that felt like I was in the right place, the right time, and I would say I was seeing it well, just missed and misfired, and placing the ball where I wanted to. You complete a few of those, Dre down the sideline on the left sideline, they end up going cover zero, end up missing him on a different page and things like that. So I think that was the name of the game for today for the offense has just not been the same page passing wise. And then, run game, we'll be better. Obviously, it's great to get this first win. We're all excited. We went to the locker room, celebrate. I sat down, enjoyed the moment, and just watching all the guys celebrate, understand that I need to be better. I will be better. And then, just taking in the first win. It's unbelievable.
I presume you haven't played a game this frustrating offensively.
No, I have. I have. It was not too far down the road. I hate that you bring it up, but no, it wasn't UCLA. Kind of same defense, but not UCLA. It was the green and gold team or blue and gold team that Cole Kmet plays for or played for. But it was a frustrating game. But the most important thing is that, and it shows a bunch of the personality of this team, I would say, the fight, the resiliency that we had, like when Coach got into the locker room, he got into the locker room and first thing he said was, guys, we don't, this past. How much ever time that we had, when we got into the locker room, I think it was around 15 minutes. We got in there and coach was like, guys, in most teams that I've been on, all these other things, y'all walked in here and said to each other that, we're not going to lose this game. We're going to go out there. We're going to keep fighting. We got this. And we weren't shaming on anybody. We weren't, defense not, being on offense, all these other things. It shows his personality, how much everybody believes in ourselves, the Chicago Bears. Defense believes in offense believes in defense, special teams, and so forth. And so, we're great to get this win, happy to get this win, celebrating the locker room. It was pretty cool, first time celebrating in here.
You said you don't care about stats as long as you win.
Yeah, don't care about stats. I feel great. I'll be honest with you, I feel great. I understand that obviously the stats weren't, where I wanted them to be, and things like that. Cause I want to go out there and perform, to the best of my ability and, didn't do that today. And so, we're going to get better tomorrow. We got this little period, these next 15 hours or so. And then, you know, you reset, you know, you get ready for Houston next week. And so, you know, we're going to enjoy this win. I'm going to go dinner with my family, hang out with them. And then from there, get back into it and get ready to go. We're going to be better next week.
What's your vantage point on Tyreek's pick six? Where were you at that point? Just take us through that whole series.
Yeah, so I was actually, I was on the bench with the coaches. And I actually called it out before, weirdly enough. I was sitting next to Ryan, and I tell Ryan this is going to be a pick. Weirdly enough, it happened, and he took it down the sideline, got up, cheered, got the 2-point, you know, to put us ahead and things like that. You know, it was awesome to be able to watch that. Kind of lost my voice towards the end of the game, cheering on my guys. It was awesome. It was great, you know, defense for what they did today. 17 points in the first half is enough, but to be able to come back out in the second half and shut them out is unbelievable. So we got a great team, you know. Great brotherhood building here, and we're going to keep going.
Was the speed of the game what you thought it would be today?
Yeah, it was. I saw things well. I was, you know, a few passes that you know, may have been dropped, may have been missed. I think it was just miscues. But speedy game wise, it didn't. I would say affect or change much. I think the miscues made it look that way, but. Miscues, misfires, all these other things, a little bit of frustration for not executing. But other than that, no.
You kind of mentioned it with the pick, but you faced this defense for like the past way, however long you've been in camp.
Yep.
What was it like watching them on the other side against Levis?
Yeah, Keenan and all of us, we always say that, you know, we can't wait to watch these guys go out there because we know how good they are. We can't wait to watch these guys go out here and, you know, do their thing, and obviously it shows, you know, the brotherhood bond that they have. They've built over the past couple of years. The guys has been playing here, and obviously a couple of the new guys, Ryan Poles and Coach, and everybody's done a great job getting all these guys here. But, you know, the guys go out there and execute the way they do and the way they did. We couldn't wait, and, you know, it shows you all their hard work that they put in.
In your career, when you bounce back from disappointing performance.
Yep.
Where have you found that strength in yourself, and does that apply here at the NFL level as well?
Yeah. So I think it applies whether it's a win or loss. You know, you expect yourself to play a certain way. You expect yourself to go out there and perform a certain way, to make passes, whether it's just, you know, whether a routine pass or whether it's just a, you know, an insane kind of whatever the case may be kind of play. And so, you know, that didn't happen today. And so, you know, it's enough motivation for me. You know, we're going to, you know, somebody else's home this week too. You know, it's enough motivation for me to go out there, get better this week, and make sure that, you know, I perform differently next week.
There are several times in your career in college, high school, probably, where you've carried a team. Even outscore the other team.
Yep.
What's it like just to wrap your mind around the situation where the defense and special teams put up a lot of points today and just be part of this, you know, whole team effort?
Yeah, that's NFL for you. You know, it's hard to win in this league. You know, to have a team like this, to have an offense, defense, special teams, players, coaches, all these people here, you know, it's the NFL. It's hard to win this league. We're excited, you know, we got a lot more to, you know, get better at, a lot more to, you know, progress and, you know, get ready for this week.
What did you feel emotionally today, and was it what you expected?
Yeah, emotionally, I was excited. I was really happy to be here, be a Chicago Bear. I was really happy to get out there on the field finally, and you know, get this first game going, extremely happy now. Extremely happy when I got to the locker room. You know, we got a lot more to get better at, but to get this win, first win in the books, as a rookie starter QB, you know, for myself is unbelievable, and I'm happy. I'm excited. And I'm, you know, ready to go.
Caleb, it might be too early to ask, but what do you think you learned from this game, or what is going to be your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, I got to go back and watch the film, obviously, and you know, figure that out. But on a deeper level, but. First and foremost is just keep fighting. Understand that the team that I have, here with me, you know, riding this battle, riding this journey with me, is the first thing I learned, and they're unbelievable. And then secondly, I would say getting back in the lab, getting back with the guys, mainly the wide receivers, tight ends, all these other guys, just to make sure that, you know, we're on the same page at the end of the week, making sure that, you know, we go out there and, you know, when we have these chances, when they want to go cover zero, that we make them pay. And, you know, we didn't do that today, but we're going to get better in the future and in the near future. So thank you, and go Bears.
All right, that is the very, very, very classy Caleb Williams talking with reporters after the ball game. And again, Williams and company there in Houston, Texas on Sunday. That's an NBC big-time primetime game, and Houston right now favored by 6.5 points. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Bears offensive line, they got to clean some things up on the line, to say the least. Let's go to George. George, where are you calling from?
Hey, Chicago, South Side.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I just want to get my take overall about the game. Seemed like good old Chicago monster in the midway game, you know, defense, special teams came through and got us the victory. As far as Caleb and the offense, well, seemed like the regular old Chicago Bears style offense, you know, and hopefully, I know he's a rookie and it's going to be tough, you know, because the city really needs a quarterback, and hopefully, you know, he could improve and, you know, learn from this game.
All right, but what did you take out of this game specifically? What were you able to say, okay, this was a turning point in the game, or this is what the Bears are going to have to do Sunday to beat Houston?
Well, most definitely the offensive line, I think, got to, you know, play a lot better. I think they could have helped out a lot, especially having a rookie quarterback back there. You know, you got to try to hold up and try to give them a little bit more time probably to make them, you know, make some good passes and make his, what he's good at, you know, and that's making plays. So hopefully, you know, they could get it together and play a lot better against the Titans, because that's going to be a much better team, and we already know what they could do for us.
Absolutely, with a very powerful offense. Obviously, Houston has done a fantastic job adding winning players over the last couple of years, and many people feel, including our very own Tyler Farrengol, our producer has put our program together this morning, that they have a legitimate shot. In fact, he's taking the Texans to go to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Opportunity for you to pick up the phone, talk Bears football on 670 The Score. And welcome back. We are having a magnificent time talking Bears football. It's Bears Monday, a winning Bears Monday, brought to you by Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. We're on the air until 5, then you got Dusty, you got Mully, you got Haw, you got a ton of Bears stuff. They're going to break it down. And, you know, one thing that I, having read a bunch of stuff on the internet tonight with bloggers and social media after ripping Caleb Williams, and the expectations were so high to begin with coming into the game, and I blame myself because I'm one of those who thought he would, you know, throw a couple of TD balls or whatever. That was not the case, but still, I love Caleb Williams. But I think it's comical that, you know, that he's getting ripped. Or at least the, you know, the perception is, well, the offense didn't play well, therefore it must be Caleb Williams' fault. You know, there's a lot to go around other than Caleb Williams. It's the offensive line. It's like the schemes. It's play calling. It's everything. So, you know, it's one game. This is the point I've been trying to make for 4.5 hours. It's one game. And you don't judge a team by one game, whether they lose or win. And that applies even to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's getting ripped by all these radio TV columnists. And I'm saying to myself, it's one game. This guy was a phenomenal, the greatest of all time quarterback in the history of the National Football League. He took a year plus off, and now he's going into the booth. And he admits he has a lot to learn. But, you know, for radio TV columnists to just go crazy on him and say, well, look, you did this, this, and this. And Greg Olsen right now is a better commentator than Tom Brady. Maybe in a year that won't be the case. But Greg Olsen's been in the booth for how many years, Tyler, would you say? He's probably, Greg Olsen's been in the booth, I would think, maybe 5 years, six maybe. But so let Tom Brady develop into, in my opinion, who I think is going to be a really good analyst. Let's go to Jason. You're on 670 The Score. Jason, good morning. Jason, are you there? Okay, one more time. Jason, you with us? Okay, let's go to D. D, you're on 670. We have Jason. Okay, let's go to Jason. Jason, you there?
Good morning, Chuck. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that obviously encouraged by the Bears' win. Disappointed in the way that the offense had played. Definitely disappointed with the interior of that offensive line, and especially the center position still seems to be an issue. That's where they seem to get a lot of their pressure, I think, causing a lot of the miscues on offense coming from Caleb. I did see some encouragement, especially late in the game. You know, when they say you need that five-minute, four-minute drive to finish off a game, wasn't quite that, but at least they were able to eat up a lot of clock and keep the defense off the field for a while and pick up those first downs, whether it was quick passes or good runs by DeAndre Swift. So I saw some encouragement, especially throughout the second half of that game from Caleb. Some quicker decisions seemed to come a little more natural, seemed to be a little bit more comfortable as the game progressed.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, Shelton had a tough night at center. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And again, as you mentioned with the offensive line, they're going to have to examine that and see what they can do with the personnel they have and also the schematics of their offense as well. But I do think that you're going to see incrementally improvement on the part of Caleb Williams. He's too good of an athlete, and he has a great head on his shoulders. And you know, right now, that's the least of my worries. I mean, he will grow into this. This is a brand new beast he's facing. The National Football League, I mean, you guys have edge attackers on the defensive line that are coming after you, and they are fast. And again, he will adjust to this. I'm not worried about him at all. I you know, it's the National Football League. This is the greatest profession you can at this level. It's the highest with the greatest athletes as far as professionally in the game of football. So he'll make the adjustments, and hopefully the Bears will take care of business on the offensive line. Thank you. D, you're on 670 The Score. Welcome.
Hey, Chuck. How you doing?
Good, D.
All right. My concern is the coaching staff. This Eagle Foods, same thing happened last year against Green Bay, the first game when the Bears played Green Bay. And it seems, and the offensive coordinator, this new guy, has had 6 months, and the only thing he could do is throw something together like this. It's a concern to me as a coaching staff. People don't seem to. Fans don't seem to want, well, not the fans, but people don't seem to what to Eagle Foods is. You're going to see down the road that that he's not that great a coach, and Caleb Williams can be good, but he needs to be coached harder. He needs to be coached harder, and I don't think that he can see down the field all his players, and so it's a concern. Hopefully, it gets better.
Well, I think, number one, on play calling, let me just say this. There were a couple of occasions, more than two, you could question the play calling. I think you could probably do that with every team in the NFL. So let's be very transparent about that. That's number one. Number two, I think this is an ongoing relationship developing with Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams. And because of that, I think once they were able to break down tape together in quarterback meetings and Caleb Williams sees, okay, I should have done A and B instead of C and D, I think that'll help. And he's going to find out that with communication, and I think it's strong right now, and it's going to be even stronger because, as you mentioned, you got to coach him up. And one thing that Caleb will go to his offensive coordinator and to his head coach and say, okay, like, what did I do wrong? What can I do better? And conversely, the coach says, what can I do to make you better in a position where you can execute? So it's ongoing. It's a relationship, and it's growing, but it doesn't happen overnight. Even if you've had 4 weeks or 5 weeks of preseason football, it just doesn't work like that. Peyton Manning was 3-13 in his first year with the Colts. 3-13. So, again, it's an ongoing process. I appreciate it. Do we go to Bob? Bob, you're on 670 The Score at 312-644-6767. Hello, Robert.
Hello. Yeah, it doesn't really cause me much concern. The same thing kind of happened with the Texans last year in Green Bay. Jordan Love takes time to develop a relationship with your coordinator and your team, because you're all out there doing it together, especially this.
Whoops, Bob, I think we lost you. So try and call again. Thank you. We're going to take a break. We'll have more in a moment right here on 670 The Score. And we continue at 4:39 right here on 670 The Score. We have Dusty, we got Mully, we got Hall coming up at 5 o'clock to talk Bears-Titans. Bears down 17-0 late in the first half. Battled back, beat Tennessee 24-17. Turnovers galore for the Titans, and the Bears took advantage. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Had a texter call and said, Chuck, who led the Bears in tackles? And that was linebacker T.J. Edwards out of the University of Wisconsin. Go Badgers! In his second season with the Bears, he had posted 15 tackles, including 10 solo, tied a single-game career high for the Bears in his first game as a member of the Bears. Darrell Taylor totaled 8 tackles, and Brisker had 10, 5 solo. Stevenson, Johnson, each registered an interception, led the game with 2 passes, and there you go. So, listen, we want to remind you once again that this is a Bears winning Monday. And I can't begin to tell you what a lineup for the Bears on 670 The Score. Ole Kreutz with Mully and Haw at 7. DJ Moore with Mully and Haw at 8. Brad Biggs with Mully and Haw at 9. You got Anthony Herron with Bernstein and Holmes at 11. Bernstein and Holmes will have Dan Weider. Then you got the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock with Spiegs and Manley. At 4 o'clock, Mark Brody, 670 The Score, who covers the Bears like nobody else. Mark Brody with Matt and Patrick at 4. Jalen Johnson, the All-Pro, 5 o'clock with Matt and Patrick Manley. And then Tuesday, don't forget, at 12 o'clock, T.J. Edwards, who had a fantastic game with Bernstein and Holmes at noon. And we also want to remind you, coming up, The Score, Circus Sports Illinois, they're teaming up to celebrate the start of football season Thursday, 10 until 6, Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, afternoon show, Lake Street Plaza at Prudential, food trucks, games throughout the day, 10 to 6 Thursday with The Score and Circus Sports Illinois. All right, let's hear from the head coach, Matt Eberflus.
You know, I thought in the first half the defense didn't play the run as well as we're used to, but I did think in the second half we made some good adjustments and did a nice job that way. I thought kickoff cover did a nice job. You know, really good job with setting the field. I know that's a new situation for everybody. I thought guys did a nice job of using technique, working really hard on that, and made some really good tackles. And you could see our hustle not only on the special teams, on both our cover teams, the punt team and the kickoff, the extra effort, you know, because there's times where the first guy would miss it, but you saw guys that were in pursuit being able to get there. And we're going to get some turnovers on those particular groups as well as we go forward. You know, in terms of the offense, you know, I told the guys this many weeks ago, we need to play well around Caleb, and we got to continue to do that, you know. So we're going to look at everything there in terms of the operation. I thought the operation was good. I know we had one delay. But again, he's got to keep getting better every single week. And as he does that as a rookie quarterback, because I think he's the first guy to win since like 2002, 014, and one, I believe. And that's because of the team around him played better in the second half. And we just need to keep doing that as he grows and develops, because he is a talent. He's smart as a whip and knows the offense. And we just got to keep playing well around him as he grows and reinvests and improves. And he's going to learn a lot these first three or four games in terms of the NFL looks, the NFL speed, and all the things that we have to do. So with that, open up to questions.
No huddle in the second half. What did you like about that? Was it a personnel thing or a Caleb thing in terms of?
It was, I think, when you know, sometimes when you struggle on offense, I think it's a pace thing. You know, you're just trying to get him going, and he likes that. And I think he's very natural doing that, you know, going fast and you know, doing the no huddle. And I think he operates best that way. And he's exhibited that in practice. Not to say we're always going to do that, but it's certainly a way to be able to spark the offense a little bit.
How much his struggle was related to maybe anxiety from his first NFL game?
Oh, I don't think there was any anxiety. He was calm, cool, and collected the whole time. Never got frustrated. I always talked to him about the response that you have of just hanging in there, because sometimes it can get rough on both sides. You know, it can get rough. You just got to hang in there, and you got to have that belief in the man next to you, belief in your teammates. It's not just about one guy, and that's what I saw at halftime, and they exhibited that in the second half.
Matt, there was a sack from a loss of 19 in the first half. Looked like it was possibly a screen. Can you tell us what was the miscommunication that happened there?
There was no miscommunication. I believe that their D lineman just busted through the block that we had for him and then created the pressure there. I know Caleb tried to get rid of it, you know, because we were in the kick line there. I think we just went for a fourth down before that, I believe. But, yeah, he's got to do a good job of getting rid of that if he can. But, again, I thought the D lineman made a nice play.
Davis and Bates rotated. Is that the plan going into the game, or did something happen?
No, that was the plan. That was the plan. Both guys were dealing with, you know, health issues during training camp. We wanted to make sure they could both finish the game, so we were going 2-2 there.
How would you describe how aggressive you were coming after Levis, especially in the second half?
Yeah, you know, so as you look at the game, and you look at how people are doing things in terms of their protection, people they have in the game, so forth and so on. Then you look at situations, and you go to your card and look at see what's the best thing to attack that. And we always do that, and that's just what you saw today.
Matt, going out of camp and knowing that Caleb's in his first, you know, first ever game, is this kind of how you envisioned it going? Maybe, you know what I mean, just the defense, the way they played coming out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's when you start a rookie quarterback, which we are doing, you know, he's going to have ups and downs and good moments and other moments. You know, so like I said, we have to just play well around him. Make sure the operation's clean, you know, make sure we don't turn the ball over, right, and, you know, and give people short fields and free plays. And it's okay to end the ball in the series with a kick. You know, so as long as we end it with a punt, we end it with an extra point or a field goal. And that, like I said, Cairo did an awesome job today of doing that and making his kicks. And the operation was good. We have a new long snapper, short snapper. So I thought that was really good operation today for those guys.
Darryl Taylor's kind of an under-the-radar guy. How big was his strip sack, and what do you see from him since he joined the team?
Energy. You know, he is straight energy. He brings it every single day. I love his passion. And, you know, he fits in right with our guys. It was great. He's been great in the building. What a great pro. You know, taking advantage of everybody that we utilize in the building, because we have a great staff in terms of performance, strength staff, everybody we have in the building. So he's been doing great, and he fit right in. And I had a short meeting with him, told us about us, you know, and how we operate, and he loved it. So it's good. It's good that he's here.
The way you guys won today with Caleb struggling, is the idea that that formula could carry you for a little while until Caleb, until things click for him and he's able to be a difference maker?
Well, I know in the NFL that every week's different. You know, there'll be times where, you know, and the games ebb and flow. They really do. And you just got to be good as a team. You know, it's never about just one side or one person. It's about us being able to figure it out during the game and figure out our winning formula for that particular day. And that could change, you know, but then once you get a solidified, you know, quarterback that's a seasoned veteran, I think it becomes pretty clear how you operate and how you do things. We've seen all those guys in the past. Our guy's very talented. Again, this is his first game, and he's going to continue to get better.
Do you foresee more opportunities for Velus Jones, granted the mistake today?
Yeah, I was proud of Velus Jones. Really was. I know that that's not what he wanted, obviously. And I thought we responded well on defense. You know, we held him to the 3 points in that particular case. So that's what we call sudden change, and that's how we operate. But he did a nice job coming in and at the halfback position. You know, did a nice job of getting north, and I thought he did well there. And we'll evaluate in terms of kick return as we go.
From what you've gotten to know about Caleb in the last couple months, what about him do you think will enable him to recover from not a great first game and improve from week to week? You've talked about the biggest leap you make is probably week 1 week.
Yeah, just his character and the man that he is. He has belief in himself. He's comfortable in his own skin. And then he's got teammates that believe in him and trust him and know him and that he can lean in on as we go through this week and get better. That's what we're going to do this week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, that's the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus, following the game. But immediately following the game in the locker room, here's the head coach.
Stonehouse with pressure, a block. It's scooped up by the Bears. Back the other way. Jonathan Owens, touchdown, Chicago. Mr. Biles getting in there. The block by Daniel Hardy, who just made the roster after a strong preseason. He had the block on Stonehouse.
You saw him overload on the right side and loop over to the left. Jonathan Owens becomes Johnny on the spot. The scoop and score. Well done by him.
The 100-meter sprint to the house on third down and six. Here they come. Gordon's coming. Levis gets wrapped up. Flings it ahead. It's picked off. Tyreek Stevenson will give the Bears the lead on another defensive play. And it was the former Titan DeMarcus Walker who got to the quarterback, wrapped Levis up, and Stevenson housed it for the first Bears lead of the game.
Well, it's all that pressure that gave DeMarcus Walker a chance on the edge. And Levis just falls right into his lap right there. You cannot make a bad play worse.
Here's the game. They need to get to midfield. Levis off the back foot, floats it up for Boyd. It is picked off. Jalen Johnson seals the deal, and the defense wins the day for Chicago.
Yes, some big plays courtesy of Fox Sports. Here's the head coach, Matt Eberflus, right after the game.
Hey, this is the biggest thing we learned from this experience, right? In my opinion, okay? Instead of in the halftime, what was different about this team, okay, compared to other teams I've been around, all right, was there was a lot of complaining and stuff like that. In those old locker rooms, it wasn't like that. It was, we got this.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yeah, we know who we are, fellas.
And looking each other in the eye and saying that, we got this.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because it's not good enough to just be a really good defense, right? And okay on special teams, okay on offense, right? It's not okay to have a great offense and just be okay on defense. You got to have a great team, right? You got to have a great team. And there's going to be days where it's mixed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? So, hey, let's keep elevating, keep leveling up. We need to improve this week. Okay, we're going against a playoff team, right? Okay, down there at their place, right? So enjoy the hell out of this. It's hard to win in this league.
Right.
You enjoy
right.
it,
That's
right?
Right.
That's and right. you tell your family how much you love them and support them right? for this for their support, okay? And then when you flip it over, tomorrow at noon, 2-3 o'clock, guess what? We're flipping it over and moving on.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, KB, you got it. Let's go.
Hey, man, bring it up. Hey, just like Coach said at halftime, fellas,
Understand, man, we're changing the culture around here. Mm-hmm. But the culture is not defined until we go through adversity and how we respond. Mm-hmm. Look how we respond in that second half. Yeah. It don't matter offense, defense, especially we are a team.
Yep.
A win is a win. Yep. And we're going to keep going all year.
Yep.
Offense, y'all going to win some games for us this year. Yep. It's going to be vice versa. That's how we be as a team. Yep. But like I said, that's the culture, fellas. We're going to keep this culture going, man. Definitely. It's all about team, man. Hey, team on three. One, two, three.
Team.
All right, there you have it. Bears over the Tennessee Titans. 312-644-6767. You should never, ever, ever apologize for winning a game. I don't care what sport, what level, you never, ever apologize for winning a game. So for those of you who had text or called, and you are more than welcome to call, to get down on a ball club after a win, can you improve? Yes. Do they need to clean some things up? Absolutely. But you never apologize for winning especially at the professional level, period. 312-644-6767. We got Mully, we got Hall, we got Dusty coming up in a few minutes. Tyler Farringall is our producer. Tyler, you had a question?
I did, and you know, I feel like it's very obvious, Chuck, that the defense and the special teams won this game. More importantly, the defense for that second half shutout. So I wanted to ask you, it was kind of a group effort, but who was your defensive MVP from this game? Did anyone stand out in particular to you?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I think when you look at the big picture, TJ Edwards obviously played really well. I love Stevenson. I mean, but overall, I would say collectively, the defense played well. I think this club can really build on their defense. I think what they're doing, you talk about culture that we just heard, I think their culture on defense, this is going to be a nasty defensive unit. I really believe that. And there are some games where I think they're going to get a great test on Sunday. I think Houston's offense is terrific. And they can beat you different ways. And I will plead guilty. And Houston identified C.J. Stroud, and they wanted him, and they got him. I really wasn't that high on him. When I say I wasn't that high, I knew he was going to be a good player. I didn't know he was going to be this good.
He's great.
He's great.
Yeah. The defense is going to be really, really good this year. I mean, the Titans had him in the trenches in the first half, especially on the offensive side with the run game, but the adjustments were great. Do you think their ceiling is a top five defense? Could they be the top defense in the NFL?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. If they stay healthy, they can be a top five, top seven defense. I'll say this, Tennessee's front line, they got some really, really good players.
They got Caleb said it earlier last week in his press conference. They got some dudes. Even though we're mad at Jeffrey Simmons for trash talking Caleb Williams, he came with a couple big pressures. Harold Landry came in with some pressures. Tennessee does have some guys. They're not going to be a pushover in 2024 like a lot of people expected them to be.
Now, you know that Houston's going to be looking at this tape, right?
Absolutely.
And when you see players bat the ball down at the line of scrimmage, what do you think that's going to send a message to defensive linemen for the Houston Texans?
They're going to put their hands up. They're going to bring pressure. They're going to want to move Caleb around. That's going to be the goal. And when he does stay in the pocket, they're going to take advantage of the fact that he's not a super big quarterback. They're going to get those, as they say, they're going to get those paws up and try to bat the ball away, to speak.
Now, listen, every team defensively tries to do the same thing to every quarterback in the league. And so this is nothing new. Nothing's new. There are no secrets in sports. These teams are so well scouted. They've got people on them on top of, I mean, they're looking and breaking down tape. I mean, it's crazy what these teams have. And so I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a severe test for the Bears coming up Sunday night. But you know what? For now, let's enjoy what happened, and that's a win against Tennessee.
One year ago, Chuck, we were here talking about a disappointing loss against the Packers.
Yeah.
One year at home. Yes. Now we're talking about a 1-0 start and hopefully a season where they're going to finish over 500 and push for the playoffs.
Yes. And remember, never, ever, ever apologize for winning.
That's right.
Tyler, a pleasure. Thank you.
Chuck, always a pleasure for you as well.
We got Mully, we got Hall, we got Dusty coming up. right here, 670 The Score. It's Bears winning Monday on 670 The Score, the home of the Chicago Bears fans. We love them.